Hello, and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and I'm joined live and in person today, which is very exciting, with Julie and Heather. Say hi, ladies.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
We rarely get to do this in person. I'm so happy. I'm in Ohio for the weekend, and I'm spending it with my girlies. And the first thing I made them do was watch a terrible Christmas movie with me.
I don't think it's terrible.
It was aware that it was terrible.
It was aware. We watched the new Lindsay Lohan movie on Netflix, Falling for Christmas. Which is essentially, which you discovered, this is not a spoiler, if you read the summary on the website, it's basically Overboard, but Christmassy. Heather, have you ever seen Overboard?
Mm-mm, no.
So the premise is...
But didn't I already?
Yes, you have. You essentially have. With much less deceit.
Yeah, it's a lot less, like, mean.
Yeah. Overboard, there's this rich heiress who falls off of a... who is rude to her handyman that she hired to work... to build something on her yacht. And then she falls off the yacht, and they fish her out of the ocean. And the... handyman pretends that he's her, that she's his wife, and makes her come home and like take care of all his rotten kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but they
fall in love. Holden and Kurt Russell.
Goldie Holden and Kurt Russell.
Aww, my mom loves that movie. It's good.
It's a good movie.
Did you watch the remake?
I didn't. That didn't really seem like my thing.
Who's in the remake? That guy in Anna Faris.
Yeah, it's Anna Faris and a man whose name I can't remember.
Okay. The guy that played... God, he plays...
I think it's gender swapped, isn't it?
Isn't it? It is gender swapped, yeah. He loses his memory. He's like... he's the villain in the Dora the Explorer movie.
Which is also a great movie. While we're talking about great movies.
I love the Dora the Explorer movie.
Talking about anything but this movie.
It's not on purpose. I liked this movie. Everybody else didn't like it.
I liked it. It was fine. It was fine. For a Christmas movie, I mean, it was fine. It dropped the ball in some places, but we'll get to that. It could have been epic. So this was Lindsay Lohan's first film in 3 years, and she was a producer on the project. It's her and Cord Overstreet from Glee. They filmed it last year from November and December in Utah. And... it just premiered, I don't know when I'm going to upload this episode, but it premiered the week that we're recording it on, what, like the 10th? Sure. And it was already, like, number one on Netflix, so. We decorated Heather's Christmas tree and then watched a Christmas movie. It was very, very cute.
And we listened to the NSYNC Christmas album, which is...
of course we did.
Like you do. Yeah. Which you must. I took really shitty notes because I was sucked in, I'm not going to lie. I was in it.
To win
and...
it?
Too busy laughing at your guys' commentary. Like, I'm glad we didn't do a commentary track, just because that's hard to do on a first watch of something, because you're quiet because you're trying to absorb what's happening. But at the same time, I wish I could have recorded some of the shit you guys were saying, because it was funny as fuck. So, let's just get into the plot. How's the movie start? It opens with Lindsay Lohan asleep in bed.
She starts with a wake-up call.
Yes, she gets a wake-up call. She's staying at a resort owned by her father. She's the heiress of the Belmont Resort.
This is where I make a Castlevania joke. For the three people that listen that might get it.
Because of Belmont?
Yeah. That's Trevor's last name. He's the vampire hunter.
Oh, that's right. I've watched a little bit of Castlevania.
That's good.
Clearly remembered a lot. The first note I took after Overboard for Christmas was titties. And Lindsay looks great, because it like opens
she
on her. She's like asleep in bed, and she has a face mask on, and her hair is perfect, and her nightgown is perfect. I'm just like, man, her titties look banging. Lindsay has always had great titties, but I think we said it multiple times while we're watching this movie. She looks great.
Yeah,
she does.
She's our age, right?
I think she's like 36. I think I looked it up a little bit older than us. Yeah, she's a little bit older than us.
But I think, like, she was rocking that, like, real, like, light blonde hair for a long time, and it didn't suit her. Whatever color she's got going, it's like the red, like, that she normally has.
More natural.
Yeah, it looked real natural. Real nice on her.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with people getting cosmetic surgery. Do we think she had some?
I would say.
She's got lip fillers.
She looks a little tight. She's a little...
Yeah. She definitely has like lip fillers. I never think lip fillers look good.
No, me neither.
I don't know why people with money keep getting them.
You can tell she's had some, but like... It's not bad. Like,
right. Yeah. I think if she continued to do it, it would look worse. Yes. Like,
Lindsay, if you're listening, please stop.
You're sure beautiful girly pop.
So she gets a wake-up call, and this glam crew shows up to help her get ready for the day. And while they're, like, taking care of her, what's the guy's name? Terry?
Terry, the concierge. And she eats, like, caviar for breakfast. Which, I've never had caviar, but, you're not into it because it's fish eggs.
Right.
Caviar?
Never had it.
Never had it. I don't know if it pops like boba.
Oh, God.
I don't think it's a breakfast item for me.
It's
eggs.
but Russians serve them, like, on, like, little pancakes called blini with, like, sour cream.
Of course you know this.
Duh. But, like, anyways, I would try it, but not a breakfast food. Appetizer, sure.
She's also sipping champagne. I'm like, damn.
For breakfast?
For breakfast.
Remember this one time? I'm sure I've told you the story like a thousand times. When I worked at the law office still, like the day that one of the attorneys like passed the bar, we popped a bottle of champagne at 10 a.m. and I got a little champagne drunk at work because the other lady that was horrible didn't drink. So I drank her champagne and mine. So I got a little tippy at work. That was a great time. That was one of my favorite memory working at that place.
Remember the time we made AMC open up their bar at like
yes.
11 o'clock?
And I dropped half of my champagne on my mimosa. On that
really? I don't remember that. Oh,
I don't remember that. I just remember we made it open up the bar so we could have mimosas to watch The Great Gatsby.
Yeah. I mean, I feel it's fair.
Listen, if you have a bar in a movie theater, you should.
If you have the fixings to make a mimosa, you need to have it available in the mornings, because that's when you have mimosas.
Yeah.
I love how I'm just like, I wouldn't have champagne in the morning unless it's in orange juice, and then it's okay.
Yeah. Well, like, that's fine. And mimosa is a special occasion. Like, you don't do mimosas every morning. Like, that's
fucking rich. If I was rich, I would. If I was rich and had nowhere to be.
Yeah, she also, like, that's part of the plot, too. She doesn't have a job.
Right.
Like, she's never had a job. Her dad is creating a position for her at his, like, big resort.
Right. She's on the phone during this whole sequence with her boyfriend, Tad.
Which took me a second to find out it was her boyfriend because I thought he was, like, her gay best friend.
Yeah. He's very British and very flamboyant. He's played by an actor whose name I've already forgotten.
George Young,
who was the detective in Malignant.
Yeah.
And I liked him a lot in Malignant, so...
I did, too.
I liked him a lot in this. I mean, his character is awful, but, like, he's funny.
He is awful, but I kind of like Tad.
Tad's
just...
If Tad's storyline would have went a better, different direction...
Sure, yeah.
I would have been obsessed.
We need a spinoff about Tad and Ralph.
100%. In my notes, I wrote Alan Cumming-looking motherfucker, because he looks like he could be Alan Cumming's son. We also see during this opening the other main character, Jake Russell, played by Cord Overstreet. He is skiing with Lindsay Lohan's dad and is trying to get him to invest in his
resort.
In his little.
My note says Cord Overstreet, love interest, bad face.
My note says, why does everyone hate Cord? Because Julie and Heather were like, Cord Overstreet.
Why is his name Cord?
I'm sure it's a musical reference, like music chords. Like that's how it's spelled.
Yeah, like Ashley from O Town named his baby Lyric.
Lyric is a better name than Cord.
Okay. So our issues with Cord are one, his name, two, his face.
Yeah, his face.
I like Cord Overstreet.
It's mostly his horse. Okay,
this is what we said yesterday, and I stand by it. If he were just like an average guy you met on the street, you'd be like, he's hot.
Right.
But as a celebrity and as a lead in a movie, like, no, bro, you're just an average white dude.
He's like mall hot.
Yes.
Yeah. Lacey and I have different rankings of men. There's gas station hot, which is Lacey's favorite type of guy. And I say that one rung above gas station hot is mall hot. And I think Cord falls in that realm.
You're right about the name. His dad is a singer-songwriter. That's why his name is Chord.
You couldn't have thought of a better name than Chord if you're a music lover.
His older brother's name is Nash.
Like from Nash Hot Shell Ray.
Huh?
Not Hot Shell Ray, that band?
I don't know who.
Oh, do you remember Hot Shell Ray?
Yeah, I do.
That's the band that,
Chord Over Street.
His brother is in. Nash.
Huh.
Harmony, Sky, and Charity are his sister's names.
Okay, Harmony's a better name than Chord.
He was named after the musical term.
So I figured. Good guess on my part.
Hate it.
He started playing the mandolin at an early age. None of this makes me like him better. It's his horse teeth.
He doesn't have horse. He has fish mouth.
That's why he modeled for Hollister and Gap. And he was homeschooled. That's why I hate him.
Okay. Now I think we're going to homeschool. We only have like 14 people that listen to the podcast, and we're going to alienate the last of them.
Every single one of them. Yeah. I can do it. Give me a microphone. I'll ruin everyone's life.
Baby has a name we don't approve of. Screw it.
There's someone out there that's like, oh, I really kind of like the name Chord.
Yeah.
You do you, people. No shame.
That's funny.
Just if he becomes famous, just know.
Just change it.
So Chord's character, Jake, is trying to get Mr. Belmont to invest in his... it's not a resort. It's like a bed and breakfast. It's like an inn.
Yeah. It's a lodge.
Called the North Star Lodge, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But Mr. Belmont is not really listening to him or paying attention. I think he's like, I already have too many investments going on and people yelling at me about how to deal with my money, so I can't invest in your shit. And he just kind of dismisses him.
And he's like, competition.
Yeah, that's...
But I think they could brand it as not competition. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah. especially the Belmont offerings. Yeah, especially because the Belmont group absorbed it.
Right, because there's a big difference of what you're into if you want to stay at some place like the Belmont, which is like a big hoity-toity thing, or if you want to stay at a more intimate, like, bed and breakfast type
thing. Sure. I think you could totally market that.
Yeah.
Like, I would stay at both, because I would want, you know what I mean, like, different experiences. Yeah. Especially if I liked the area.
Right. I don't think this is going to shock anyone when we say that no one in this room knows how to ski. And we discussed this while watching it, because there's a lot of skiing in the movie.
Well, before we get to the skiing part, like, Jake and Sierra, like, run into each other, like, literally. And Jake has this really fake coffee, and then it gets really weird fake coffee mashup. On her dress.
Yeah. The Balenciaga dress.
It's a jumpsuit. Yeah. That red jumpsuit. Yes. It's amazing.
It does look really cool. And it's really, really fake, terrible coffee everywhere.
Yeah, because you know how, it, like, in Hallmark movies and shit, there's always characters carrying around cups of coffee and cocoa.
And they're always fake.
And they're always super obviously empty. Well, this one, for the purposes of this meet cute, his doesn't have a lid on it. So not only is it obviously fake, but it's like you can see inside it and see fake coffee inside. It's like a piece of cardboard there. And then he runs into her, and Sierra's wearing, this is important because he doesn't recognize her later. She's wearing like this big wide-brimmed hat and big sunglasses. So he runs into her and gets coffee on, just like a dash, like a little splash of coffee on her jumpsuit.
Did you notice he got it all over the back of his papers, but somehow only a dash got on her outfit?
Yeah, it didn't make any
sense. So how did it go over her papers? His papers without getting all over her, whatever. Fake coffee.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes.
You're fine.
Tad
makes it worse, and then, like, they're going to lunch with, like, Tad and Sierra are going to lunch with her dad.
Mm-hmm. So Jake leaves. They go to meet with his dad, and Tad is a influencer. And so he's constantly talking about, like, photo ops and his followers, and we need to take some ussies, which I didn't know was a thing. Instead of a selfie, it's an ussie. British thing. What did they talk? Something happens that makes Tad have a spit take, and I remember writing it down because I was like, why'd that make him...
Yeah, it was stupid. It didn't seem like that was a response, but I can't remember what
I can't remember it either. Well, Tad does a spit take at some point. I don't know. That whole meal was a blur. And then we follow Jake back to his lodge. and meet his mother-in-law, Alejandra, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his daughter, who's like, what, nine, ten?
Yeah.
Abby.
And which must be short for something, but they never
they
say.
They never say, yeah. It's A-V-Y. Cute. It's cute, yeah. But his wife is deceased, obviously, because just like Disney movies, Hallmark movies, everyone has dead moms. Dead moms, dead dads, dead something.
Have you ever seen the one where the mom comes back as a ghost for Christmas?
No.
Yeah, that one's good. She comes back for Christmas. Like, she's dead, but she comes back so they can have one last family Christmas.
Wow.
It's nice.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's like Casper.
Yeah.
Which we also watched this morning. I've been threatening to do an episode on Casper for, like, weeks now, and it hasn't happened, and I don't think it's gonna.
I just recorded after this.
We didn't watch the whole movie.
I barely knew what was happening every
time. I don't
think
Heather's actually seen Casper.
I was so confused.
But the little girl that plays his daughter, Abby, is so... She's beautiful and adorable and cute. But she's so precocious that she kind of makes you sick. Like, every scene she has this huge, big, fake grin on her face. And she's just so excited about everything. And oh my god.
Ooh, boy. I'll dare a child be excited.
She's not. She's too happy for having a dead mom.
Maybe that's how she overcompensates for it.
It's true.
Be nice to this girl.
Okay. Sorry, Heather.
Well, she's excited because she's going to go to the wishing tree, right? Is that the wishing tree scene?
Yes.
Where she's going to go to the wishing tree? And so she goes... Yeah, it is because... It is. So she goes to the... She's going to go to the wishing tree and make a wish. And her dad fobs her off because he's too sad about Christmas because he misses his dead wife. So her grandma takes her to the wishing tree. And then we see a white man with a hat on, with a white beard and blue eyes. Guess who it is?
Motherfucking Santa Claus.
Motherfucking Santa Claus!
But as three grown women who have seen the actual Santa Claus, he wasn't real.
That's true, he's not real.
He wasn't a good Santa, no. We're besties with Santa, we know.
We know. There is photo evidence.
Santa, can we take a selfie with you?
Someday, we're going to take children to North Carolina to meet that Santa Claus again. I hope it's the same guy.
What if it's not the same? What happened to Santa? They're like, he died. And we're like, oh my god!
Where's Steve Guttenberg?
What?
Steve Guttenberg plays Santa in a Hallmark Christmas movie.
What?
Who knows?
Is he supposed... Do they, like, make him look old and like Santa? Or is he supposed to be, like,
a young, hot Santa?
No,
he's, like, young, hot Santa. He's Steve Guttenberg. He's Steve Guttenberg Santa.
It's a Hallmark movie, so don't put too much thought into it.
I just hurt my brain.
In the multiverse, there's a whole universe where we're all Steve Guttenberg.
Moving on.
Anyway. So, Abby puts a wish on the wishing tree. We don't know what it is.
And then magical wind hauls it away.
Santa, like, touches the side of his nose and does a little magic and blah, 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 takes the wish away.
And she's very excited about it.
Yeah. Very cute. Meanwhile, Tad is going to take Sierra on a ski trip. Or not a trip, to go skiing. And he...
It's not even to go skiing. It's to take pictures. To take pictures like they're going skiing.
Oh, and we find out before at the dinner with the dad that the dad's going to be gone until Christmas Day. He's going to meet up with him Christmas Day, which is kind of important. Which is 4 days away at this point.
Right. And Tad is a dumbass, and he takes this snowmobile off track. And he, like, got a tip from someone of, like, a special place to go. But they don't see this sign because it's covered in snow that it's, like, dangerous. Do not go here. So they go to a really dangerous part of the mountain.
So then he tries to take... They can't figure out how to take the snowmobile off the trailer. And, like, maybe he doesn't know what a ratchet strap is. I'll give him that. But, like... Like, simple pulley method, like, you would figure out how to get the damn thing off. Like, just, how dumb are these people? Like, I understand they're not outdoorsy, but, like...
He, like, thinks it's voice activated. He's like, what does he say? He's just like, come off or go get off or come here or something. It's very cringe.
And why? What person would let them like rent the snowmobile and just let these two idiots go into
I also don't think you can like hook up like a trailer to a car like that.
Oh, to a sports car? To a sports car.
It was a sports car. Yeah, they were in a sports car.
That's a good point.
So what idiot let that happen? Someone like thought it was a good idea to let them go out into the world like this.
Someone who doesn't get paid enough.
Someone who said, fuck this guy.
Yeah, they don't get paid enough. The guy gave him a bunch of money. So they're like, sure, buddy, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
If I saw them go out, and I would look for them to come back. Like, I'd be looking for these two. And when they didn't come back, I'd be like,
It may not even have been, like, a rental type thing. Tad's rich. He might have just been like, I'm going to buy me his... Wrap it up. Strap it to my car. I'm taking it home.
Give me this trailer and put it on the back of my sports car.
Just because then there wouldn't have been anyone to hold accountable for them not coming back.
I don't know. And they didn't tell anybody where they were going either, which is, like, the first rule of, like, going places is you always tell people where you're going.
Right.
Not if you're rich, I guess.
Mm. Fair. Are you saying that rich... No, they are irresponsible. You're right.
It's true. So they go up to this really sketchy part of the mountain, and they get out, and Tad proposes to Sierra and gives her the ugliest ring. It's this big, square, yellow diamond. It's hideous. And the ring is way too big for her.
And she says that.
Yeah, she's like, it's too big. And meanwhile, she's on skis, and they're, like, posing for pictures together to show off the engagement. Also, they haven't known each other that long. I think they even...
A year.
Like, a year, which to me is not long enough to... I don't know. It's just creeping on it. It's like the precipice. Like, year... It has to be at least a year, but even that's like... But she starts to slide off the mountain backwards on these skis. And Tad tries to grab her, but he starts to slide too, and he grabs her hand. And he grabs hold of the ring, which is too big, so it slips right off of her finger, and she goes careening backwards off of this mountain. And
it's the most ridiculous fall scene ever.
It's a lot, yeah. They both fall. I don't understand how they both fall, like, over the same edge of the mountain, but end up so far apart.
No, he doesn't. She falls this way. There's ice or, like, an ice ledge, and he goes down the other way.
Oh, okay.
And she's also rolling that way.
Okay. I thought they both went, whoo, over the same
way. No, he fell,
he comes back and, like, it crumbles. Mm-hmm. And he just goes down.
Because that happens.
You know, like you do.
I mean, it wasn't on a pond. He was, whatever.
This is the treacherous part of the mountain he wasn't supposed to go to. Because it caves in on itself, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So they get separated, and Sierra falls at the bottom of this mountain and hits her head on a tree and is unconscious. Meanwhile, Jake is giving a couple a sleigh ride, like a horse-drawn sleigh ride, and sees her at the bottom of the...
Because she's wearing, like, the most ridiculously pink snowsuit. Thank God, because if she was, like, a real rich person and only wore beige...
They never would have seen her. Why do people, rich people, love beige and white? What is about that?
I don't know. Huh. It must be like a weird purity thing. Like, if it's all white, like...
It's clean and it's pristine.
Yeah.
Boring. I'd be the most obnoxious rich person. All my shit would be different. Well, most of my shit would be black because it's me. But I'd be the other end of the spectrum. Just like, wear some color. Put on something beige just for once. Jesus Christ. But Jake sees her, and the couple that he's pulling is so funny because the guy is, like, really paranoid. He's just like, the sleigh's really old. Are we going to get hurt? What's going on? And he's like, is that a dead body?
Yeah, and then Jake goes over to her. She's laying, like, face down, and he immediately moves her. Like, she's just had a traumatic brain injury, and you, like, move her over on her back, like... What?
Oh, yeah. Flips her like a pancake. I was like, and her neck snaps and she's paralyzed.
But then, okay, so he takes her to the hospital. We get to the hospital. And they say she's had a minor concussion. But she can't remember a damn thing that's happened to her.
How is that a minor concussion?
How is
and
that
then
minor?
They also say, she was like, well, what about, you know, my clothes, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we had to cut those off you. So she only had a minor concussion. They had to cut her clothes off.
I would say, well, we don't know how long she was laying in the ground on the ground either. Like, maybe her clothes were frozen on her body and they had to get them off to get her body temperature up.
It was like immediate. She fell. She fell and we saw it.
But if, okay, so if that is true, Julie, then wouldn't she have a little bit of hypothermia? Wouldn't they say she'd have more than a mild concussion?
I don't think this was a good hospital.
yes, Julie, that's it.
I mean, look how they were ready to get rid of her. She didn't know who the fuck she was. The sheriff didn't try. Bye. They were like, bye, we're gonna let you go.
They're like, where are you gonna go? So, yeah, Jake's like, well, she can stay at my lodge, because I don't know what else she's gonna do.
You know why Jake's in trouble with the lodge? Because he's bad at
Well, that's
business.
Another thing we didn't mention. Well, I guess it was implied, because he was trying to get investments. But yeah, the lodge is about to go under.
Yeah, he's in financial distress.
Yeah.
And he's just letting women that he finds in the woods that he almost breaks their neck, who has minor concussions, he just lets them stay there.
Minor concussions, but major amnesia.
Yeah.
Also, did you notice that her cut is gone immediately?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she also has major regenerative powers.
She's Wolverine.
Yeah. Except not for her memory.
Actually, a Supernatural story.
It is.
Yeah, Santa.
Santa, yeah.
We also eventually see... So Sierra goes home with Jake, blah, blah, blah. We also see Tad wake up, like... And the first thing Heather says is, Tad is alive? Like, Heather just saw the Tad just straight up beeped
and
died.
He just, like, yeeted into the abyss. Like, the ice broke and he was just, like, gone. I was like, well, that's the last we'll see of Tad.
Yeeted into the abyss. Oh,
nope.
God.
Tad survives,
and he finds a little fishing hut. A guy is ice fishing. And he, like, bursts into this hut. And we meet Ralph. Who's my favorite character of the movie.
He's the best character.
Yeah, you're right.
Meet the Ralph, and Ralph is going to help Tad. But we get back that. It intercuts back to them a bunch. And he's like, what is your name? He's like grabbing his face and squishing his cheeks. He's like, what is your name, Savior? He's like, Ralph?
Oh, and then we go back to her being at the lodge with Jake. And, like, she's in her room, which is the cutest room. Who would not want to stay at this lodge? Especially if you get to stay there for free, which we find out, you know, he's let people do. And, like, she looks out the window, and this little raccoon, the fakest looking raccoon I've ever seen in my life, is, like, staring at her, and it's like, ah! And she's like, ah! And she, like, flips over the chair.
Yeah, like, ass over tea kettle, like, right after her major minor concussion. Also, though, I want to go... I need to visit Tad and Ralph again because when Tad throws the door open, Ralph throws his tackle box at him and he gets fishing lures stuck in his face.
I forgot about that.
I was going to tell you guys, remember that time my brother got a fishing lure stuck in his face?
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Tim, my brother Tim was fishing at Killiany's Pond in Bysville, and I know that means nothing to anyone that's listening, but that's part of the story. And it was like the week before prom... And he got a fishing lure stuck in his face, and my Aunt Karen had to take him to the hospital to get it removed.
Oh, God.
The hospital?
He had to go all the way to the hospital. He had to get stitches.
Oh,
and it was lodged in his head.
Pretentious as your brother is right before, I bet that, like, ruined his... Why am I laughing?
Because it's funny.
It's funny time to Tim.
Yeah. Now you can... Yeah, that's why it's funny.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you can go on now. I just had to share that story with everyone.
I want to go back to the raccoon, but I think before, somewhere in there, too, we also see that Terry has now discovered that Sierra is gone, but thinks that she went on, like, some
trip with Tad.
So that, and the dad's out of town, so that is why no one is too panicky about, oh, where's Sierra? They think she's gone somewhere.
No one calls the police.
No
one thinks
to
do that.
But also, she's, like, not a person, either. Like, she's terrible to these people. You know what I mean? Like,
she's not terrible. Yeah, she's just indifferent.
She forgets who she is, but she hasn't forgotten how to be a bitch. Like,
yeah.
She's still a spoiled brat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, there has to be some hospital policy of, this woman has amnesia, we can't let her leave.
Yeah.
You think.
With just, with Jake Russell.
Well, no, but like, they wanted her to leave because she was being such a bitch.
She is terrible to the hospital staff. You're right. I was thinking of, like, to her staff, but she's awful. Remember, she, like, pulls her IV out and, like, about knocks over that poor nurse. Yep. So, yeah, they were quick to be like, yes, for the love of God, take her. Get her out of here.
Take her.
Yep.
But, yeah, when she sees that raccoon, we actually rewound it and watched it again because I missed it. They're like, you have to see this raccoon. It's like, clearly a puppet, but then it has, like, CGI eyes, so his eyes get all big when he sees Sierra. It's so funny. Made me think of that raccoon puppet from Christine McConnell. Who's, like, my favorite character of all time.
I still think about those spider web cabinets.
Oh, God. I think about those cool tree candles that she made all the time. God. I love that show.
So, Sierra meets the daughter, and they kind of connect, and then she goes to make breakfast.
Oh, that's where she gets her name, too.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Julie, because I forgot about that.
So, when she meets Abby, like, she's like, what's your name? She's like, I don't know. And then she's like, oh, well, these are my stuffed animals. You can borrow one of their names. And then, like, she picks, like, an alpaca named Sarah. And because it's close to Sierra, like, Sierra, Sarah. And then they go to make breakfast. And she's like, surely I can make an egg.
No.
No, she can't. No.
She cannot do anything for herself.
Yeah.
But then this was kind of cute because at the beginning of the movie, she's like, I don't do bacon. And then the girl was like, do you want bacon? She's like, I don't do bacon. And the girl was like, have you ever tried bacon? And then she tried bacon, and she shoves, like, 3 pieces of bacon in her mouth. And she's like, really? Bacon is delicious.
I want to make that, like, vegan, like, carrot bacon.
Oh, God.
I want to try it, because I want you to get to have bacon. That does look really good.
Do you even miss bacon?
No, because I have Morningstar bacon, and I fuck with it every weekend. I have Morningstar bacon for breakfast.
I don't love bacon, so...
Try to make bacon jam once, and I got a GI right after, so, like, right after that, like, I did not eat bacon for a couple of years.
Fair.
Even now, I don't do sweet bacon, because I was trying to make bacon jam,
and
I don't do sweet bacon. It's always, like, pepper bacon.
So...
I like sausage, though.
Now we have, like, her, like, staff at the hotel, like, are like, huh, she didn't return. She hasn't been here. That's weird. But not weird enough. Is that what we said a minute ago?
Yeah. No. Yeah, but still.
Oh, okay, I missed that. Oh, yeah. What's after that? Oh, she has the montage where she can't do anything. Like,
she's a fucking disaster factory.
Yeah, she ruins everything. Like, she puts too much soap in the...
Okay, but this is all Cordova Street's fault for trying to use her for free labor.
Okay, listen. If she's going to stay there for free, she might as well help out.
Well, yeah, but as soon as he found out that she can't make a fucking bed...
She couldn't make a bed. She got herself caught in the... What's the one sheet?
The fitted sheet.
Yeah.
Sequence is kind of funny, actually. Who would have known that someone was so dumb that they would take the cap off the laundry detergent and not be able to figure out how much to put in it? Like, the back.
You just described, like, 80% of men. If you told a man, do your own laundry, make your own bed, he'd be like, I'll do it.
Thank God my husband is competent.
Yeah. That's why you married him, because he found one that was... I hate to be that way, but a lot of men... And it's their own fault.
She, like, dumps, like, half a bottle in the washer.
Yeah, and then he's mean to her about it.
He's, like, kind of a dick.
The last thing I need.
Well, yeah, because, like, he has to clean up bubbles. She ain't cleaning them up.
Yeah, but, like... Julie said, it's his fault for, like, making her do stuff in the first place. Expecting her to do
stuff. He's stressed. He's in financial distress. He's stressed. His name is Cord.
His name's Jake.
Whatever. His name was Jake.
Oh, Lord.
Meanwhile,
we also cut back to Ralph and Tad. In, to me, what is the most blatant queer baiting in media that I've seen in a long time, and that is saying something. They go to leave. Ralph's truck won't start, so he's like, it's like a 3-day hike over the pass. We're gonna have to go on foot. We'll leave a note at the truck, and hopefully someone will find us. But we gotta go. So poor Tad is in, like, long underwear and a coat and a hat, and he's on the struggle bus trying to walk through the snow. And at one point, he, like, collapses. And Ralph is like, I got you, buddy. And he, like, Tad's laying spread eagle, like, sprawled out in the snow, right? And Ralph grabs him by the foot and, like, pulls him towards him. And he's like, whoa, you're really strong. And then he, like, straps snowshoes on him. And he's like, don't you need the snowshoes? And he's like, no, it's all right. I got big feet. And he winks at him.
Yep.
And at this point, I'm just like, Ralph and Tad are going to fuck. Like, that is going to happen in this movie. This movie is going to go there. It's so, like, that, I have very fluent media literacy, and that was telegraphing some fucking, okay? But yes. What happens after that?
That's when she goes to talk to Baltazar, the horse. And it's like, I can't do anything right. And blah, 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 I'm trying, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, she can't see over the horse because horses are so big, question mark, that Jake is standing right there. So then she's like, I'm going to go try to get wood. So then, I don't even know how you can fuck this up, but she found a way. She gets too much wood, questionable, I don't know, and then, like, can't walk stairs and, like, falls.
She slips on the ice, which, again, is Jake's fault, because he should have that shit cleaned up.
I'm skeptical.
Well, it's just another thing he neglected, just like his finances.
And his wife.
Julie and I are clearly, like, Team Sierra, and Heather is, like, Team Jake.
I wouldn't go as far as Team Jake, but she's... I've just never seen anyone so incompetent before, but I also don't know rich people, so...
Well, that's just it. It's like, she's rich, but at the same time, you also have to... We, as an audience, know that she doesn't know how to do any of this stuff because she's rich and spoiled. But if I was Jake and seeing how all the struggles she was having, I would also think, maybe she just doesn't remember how to be a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How much does amnesia, like, affect... If you don't remember your name, you don't remember who you are, you don't remember how to do laundry. You don't remember how to... make eggs, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe. But she remembered how to be a bitch to the hospital staff. That's what gets me, you know?
Well, that's because that's what she knew how to do.
Yeah.
So Jake comes over to, like, console her and try to make up because he feels bad now. And then I don't
and
know
he should feel bad.
Oh, and then she's like, I've never met anyone like you, Jake. That's what she said.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because that's like, when he goes and he buys her the snow globe from Santa.
Oh, yeah.
And this is around the point I stopped taking notes, because I was like, I put all of my eggs into the Ralph and Tad fucking basket, so anything that wasn't them, I was just like, meh.
My next note is she makes him feel feelings, and imagine feeling feelings.
I do have a note about gentrification.
Yeah.
It's plain.
That
was you.
It's a movie about gentrification, because the North Star Lodge belonged to Jake's wife. It was a gift that they got at their wedding. It had been in her family for generations. She is clearly Latina and or Mexican.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they're clearly Latina.
Yeah.
Or Latino or Latinx. Whatever you want to say. So, the Belmont Lodge has come into Summit Springs. That's where the area is. They've come there and basically stolen all of their customers. So here's Beauregard Belmont coming in, horning in on, like, a Latinx family-owned business. It's all about gentrification.
We also pointed out, like, this is, at this point, it's 2022. This is, like, bare minimum representation. But there are a lot of B characters that are people of color.
Yeah. Love this town.
So we were like, this town's awesome. There's, like, for a ski town, you wouldn't expect that about much culture and diversity. Or in a Christmas movie, because they're so fucking white.
Yeah.
That being said, our two main characters are still white, but whatever.
Yes.
And there's, like, the racially ambiguous mayor.
He's just black.
Okay, he's black.
Racially, Tad is racially ambiguous.
True. The mayor, like, the sheriff is black, the doctor's black, which is awesome. We love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and then, so you have all these beautifully diverse people, and then you have the Belmont Resort.
Yeah.
Horning in on the territory.
So we went a little ahead of ourselves before we said that Jake says, you've made me feel feelings.
Yeah, I did, sorry.
So Grandma like, goes to... Grandma and Sierra talk. And Grandma's like, oh, they might have to sell the lodge.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and she's like, oh, no. And then, so... Sarah has to, like, put something in his...
She's putting the memory book in the desk.
The memory book in the desk and finds this angel. And then Jake comes in and he's like... my dead deceased wife's, and I don't want to put it up yet. I'm not ready. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry that I pushed you on this. And they have this little moment. And he's like, you here and you made me feel feelings.
And is this so, where he says that he'd like almost rather give the place up because he still feel he has so many feelings about it?
Yeah, I think
like he's
so.
She's like, oh, you're in trouble or blah blah blah.
And then
like, they do have that conversation at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, and they almost kiss under the mistletoe, but they don't because they're like, what if you're with somebody, like, and you just can't remember?
Which is not a thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's considerate.
So the next day, she gets this grand idea, which is the best thing she's done in the entire movie, to get do a fundraiser of all the past people who've had great memories at the lodge to come to the lodge again for this party on, like, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, whatever.
Yeah.
And then... they can pretty much beg for money, like, or just be like, you know, hey, we need money.
Right.
But he hates the idea first because he doesn't want to beg for money.
Because he's a man. That's sorry.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Not to be that guy. I'm always that guy. But like, he's so stubborn and proud. It's just like, you need the money. Beg for the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially if you want to keep doing good deeds, because like. When they were in town, everybody's like, oh, thanks for helping me do this, that, and the other.
Yeah, everyone's like, we don't know what we'd do without you, Jake. Like, you're just so helpful.
Yeah, because they go to town and they, like, are doing, like, wrapping gifts or something for, like... Because we find out she didn't know how to wrap a freaking present, either. Which, I mean, if I was rich, I would not wrap gifts, either.
Hell, I don't. I will give her that.
I'm poor and
I
can't wrap
no idea
for shit.
Yeah, how to wrap a present. So. I make Bruce do it. And then she's like, I'm going to leave because she felt uncomfortable because he was mad at her about the fundraiser. And he's like, no, we'll stay. You stay and we'll put up the angel. Because now that he's known this girl for 2 days, he's going to put his dead wife's angel up on the tree.
Well, he felt feelings again for the first time in a long time.
Then we go to Tad and Ralph eating beans together. And they talk about their survival blog that they're going to have.
I caught it at the very beginning. I was like, oh, he's going to shift his movie or his, like, content to survival.
He eats beans that are too spicy for him, and he shovels snow into his mouth to cool it down.
I don't know about you, but I would eat Ralph's spicy beans.
Giggity.
So Dad comes back because a couple days have passed, and he's like, "Where's
he's
my daughter?"
He's back early.
He's like, "Where is my daughter?" And everyone's like, "We don't know." And he's like, "She's missing. What?" So he goes to where she went skiing, to like the police department in that town, and they just happened to have picked up Ralph for, what was he doing?
Poaching.
Oh yeah, Ralph was poaching. So they picked up Tad and Ralph, and then when Tad and the dad see each other, he's like, "Where is Sierra?" And nobody seems to know except for the policeman who let her go with Jake.
Right. He's like, I know where she is. He's like, probably back at the hotel, I imagine. Come on, Tad.
I remember at this point we paused it for something around this time and there was still like 20 minutes. I'm like, how? How is there that much time left?
So then she... I'm sorry, I took over this.
No, you're do good. Because I stopped taking it.
So, the grandma, who, her daughter is deceased, but now has taken on Sierra as her daughter, I don't know, buys her this dress for the Christmas party. So she comes down in this hot dress, and they dance, and they almost kiss, and then they see that everyone's waiting at the door to come in, so everyone comes in, and then he starts kind of asking for the money, and he has this George Bailey moment where everyone's like, oh my god, you helped us out, you let us stay here and didn't charge us, and you did this for us on our honeymoon, and you didn't charge us, and so everyone's like throwing money in the bin like he's the richest man in town, George Bailey.
And then they also, the mayor also says that they're going to get the lodge declared a historic site, which makes them eligible for grants, which will also help him become, like, help out, ease the burden financially. And he's like, because he's still being super fucking stubborn about it.
Well, this was the point, too, where Julie said, because when you hear all these altruistic things that he did for these people, Julie was like, that's why you don't have any fucking money. You don't charge him.
Yeah. He's a bad businessman, and he will run that shit into the ground.
I also want to say that she comes down in that beautiful red dress, and we have our, like, she's all that walking down the
staircase. And then she puts on the horrible jacket. And then she puts on
this ugly sequence jacket.
Yeah, it was terrible. What do we have next? Oh, then Dad and Tad. I never learned Dad's name.
If he Beauregard.
Beauregard. So I'm just going to call him Dad. That's a better name. Tad and Dad show up, and they're like, you got to go home. She's like, I guess I got to go home. Bye.
Yeah, like, well, her memory comes back at that point. Like, yeah.
He gives her her hideous engagement ring back, and she's like, oh, yeah.
It's too big.
I remember now.
That ugly thing, I would have probably remembered that traumatic time.
Right. Burn in the brain. Ugh.
Yeah.
And then when she goes home, they're like, you're acting weird. Like, you make your bed and shit. Like, you eat bacon, and you make your bed, and you take...
And you're wearing jeans.
You clean up after yourself, and you wear jeans.
Yeah.
So funny.
She's like, I'm feeling something a little different this morning.
So then they have a little different jeans. Looks like a normal person.
Yeah.
So then they have, like, this little press conference where she's like, I'm fine, but just so you know, I stayed at the North Star Inn. The North Star Inn.
Yeah,
the North Star Inn.
And, like, Tad talks about their engagement, and then Cordova Street turns the TV off because I've heard enough. And then the phone starts ringing at the lodge. And so Alejandro goes to answer the phone, and then
she tells her dad she doesn't want the job he was going to give her. She wants to do something on her own, and Dad said he's really proud of her because he thought he was going to have to take care of her, but now it seems like she's taking care of herself, which, I am not going to raise a rich kid, but, like, you should probably teach your kid to do things like... Yeah. Laundry and stuff, but who knows? I've never been rich, so. And then she goes and she's like, Tad, I can't be engaged to you. Goodbye. I don't know.
Best wishes.
Best wishes.
She's like, she's like, I gotta go my own way. And he's like, what? What?
She literally does say that because I started singing that fucking High School Musical song in my head when she said it. I have to go my own way.
How do you know that?
TikTok.
Oh, fair. T as in Troy? No, Gabriella. T as in trans rights.
So after, I'm glad I'm carrying the team right now.
Yeah, you really are.
After Jake sees that, like, now the lodge is sold out because so many people were interested because this is where she was. He goes back to try to, like, find her up at the hotel.
At the encouragement of his baby precious precocious daughter.
Yes.
She's like, my wish didn't come true.
Oh, yeah, because she said she wished that her dad would find somebody.
Yeah, to love.
So not only does his daughter encourage him, his mother-in-law encourages him to go.
Yep.
Like, find Sierra.
He's like run out the door, and she's like, but the roads are all closed on this side of the valley. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna go use the snowmobile that's fucking broken. So he goes and he's like, oh, there's nothing we could do. And she's like, Dad, what's that? And, like, they pull the blanket off, and here's the beautiful sleigh that they couldn't afford. And he's like, did your grandmother do this?
Forgot this whole part.
He's like, she's like, no, we didn't do this. And he's like, I'm going to go get Balthasar. Are you coming? And she's like, yeah. And so then they go to town on the beautiful new sleigh with the horse named Balthasar. Which, what a fucking name for a horse.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Balthasar.
I like it.
I like it, too. I don't like horses, but I like Balthasar.
We're up this fight. It's one of our biggest disagreements.
It is.
I love horses, and Julie hates them.
I hate horses.
I also love horses, so you are outnumbered, Julie.
Did you have a horse girl phase, like, when you were little?
I did not, but I love horses.
I did. I collected Grand Champion figurines. And
okay.
That explains everything.
A lot makes a sense right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Shut up!
We should leave them to eat the ground in peace.
All I can think about is teeth.
Am I bothering horses? Have you ever seen me bother a horse? I would never disrespect a horse by putting my fat ass on one.
They would kill you just as soon as looking at you.
I haven't ridden a horse since, like, pony rides at the fair when I was little, nor would I ever. But I love them. I think they're beautiful, and I want to pet them and feed them.
I think it's disrespectful to ride a horse.
You're not 400 pounds, Heather. I'm talking about me specifically. My fat ass.
In general, you're like, people shouldn't be riding horses.
You can ride horses.
I don't think they care.
They don't care. I'm talking about me. Myself. Because Julie was like, let them eat the ground in peace. I'm like, I'm not bothering them. I like to feed them apples and pet their snoots. Like that.
My favorite thing about horses is that they used to be, like, people had horses and their fence, like, is really close to my grandma and grandpa's, like, property line. So we'd go over there and, like, pet the horses when I was a kid. And my grandpa said he learned how to braid. My grandpa, my mom didn't know how to braid, nor did my grandma. The only person who could braid my hair was my grandpa, because he said when he was a kid, he used to braid horses, like, tails.
Aww.
And, or, like, manes. And I think that's so cute. And he's, you know, he still knows how to braid just because he braided horses' tails.
That's really cute. That's
a great story. And I still hate horses.
Okay. My favorite, I have to interject my favorite horse story. So, down the road from where I lived, there was a horse farm that had... And they always, every year, they would have a mare and a baby. And I was always like, where did the baby come from? Every year, they have a new baby. Then they sell it at the fair. And then one day, I used to play in the woods a lot as a kid because I was a hill jack. And I was playing in the woods, and I didn't know where I was in relationship to the road or the neighborhood or anything. And I, like, go through into this clearing, and there's just a paddock with a beautiful big horse in it. And I thought it was like a fucking fairy tale. Like, I found this horse and it was mine. I'm like, the horsey. And I, like, spent the whole day with this horse. And then when I came out of the woods, I realized where I was, right across the street, right across the road from where they would keep their mares and their babies, was this second paddock that I just never knew was there. And I had come across it, like, in a different direction. So I was like, okay, so it's not my horse, it's the neighbor's horse. But still, it was like a magical experience. So I'm like, now there's two more horses for me to pet. So yeah.
And was he nice?
He was very nice. He came up to the right to the fence and let me rub on him, and he was very sweet.
That's a cute story.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical.
Whatever.
So
it was a cute story.
They
ride not that horrible.
The sled and Baltazar into town.
And then he asks his 9-year-old child if she could watch this giant fucking horse who we've previously established would kill you just as soon as look at you. I was like, that's smart.
That was not established. That was never established. Never was it established.
I just established it. I said right here 2 minutes ago.
We're so close to the end.
Sorry, Heather. I'm sorry.
So, anyways, he finds his beak when he thinks she's in it. Or maybe he's just trying to rehearse.
He thinks she's in it.
Okay. And he's like, I think I'm falling in love with you, blah, blah, blah. And then Tab rolls the window down. And he's like, nah, that's not. And then I have a note that says, bring back Ralph.
Bring back Ralph. Yes, because, like, inexplicably, Tad is going to, you know, take off and do his own thing. But he's, like... befriends Terry?
Yeah, he asks
Terry with him.
Well, so Terry, like, he tells Terry to get his coat, and then he's like, what are you doing on New Year's? And so Terry, like, grins. So I think Tad's a man whore.
Mm. It should have been Ralph.
Good thing she didn't marry him, because, you know.
He's homosexual?
Well, not bad. Like, you can marry a homosexual, but I'm just saying, like,
I mean,
he's kind of a man whore. Yeah. Like, he's not faithful.
No. He's also an idiot.
That too. But anyways, so then, like, Terry and Tad pull away, and he's sitting, Cord's there, and he's sad because he thinks he missed her, and he doesn't know where to get her. And then guess who's there? Who's there?
Santa.
Santa, or Fanta, fake Santa. He's there, and he goes, he's like, I think you'll find what you're looking for in the back courtyard. And so he runs into, like, he goes through and he finds Sierra, and they are there.
They're there, and Sierra's like, you know, I'm not going with Tad. Tad and I broke up. My dad said that he will invest in your lodge if you want, but that's up to you. I want to come back and work with you at your lodge, blah, blah, blah.
She wants to be the vice president of atmosphere at the North Star Lodge.
And then... they finally kiss, and I read before we recorded, Julie made a J.J. Abrams joke.
Because there's a huge lens flare
during their kiss, and it's because they did the lens flare to disguise the fact that Cord is kissing Lindsay's stand-in. It's not Lindsay in that scene. I don't know why she wasn't in that scene. Maybe she had the COVIDs? I don't know, but they didn't smooch.
Maybe she was afraid.
Lindsay?
Yeah.
Oh, she just didn't want to get germs?
I wouldn't want to kiss or cry for straight.
She's afraid of his fish mouth.
His teeth.
That's awful.
The teeth.
And that's pretty much the end of the movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Also, we need to just mention the fact that at some point the daughter comes rolling through with the dad. Like, not her dad, but, like, Sierra's dad. And I was like, who's watching the fucking horse?
Whose horse is that?
Exactly.
Santa. Santa's watching the horse.
Well, no, I thought he was there, too.
Oh, probably. Damn it, Fanta. I don't know.
Probably, I mean, I guess the one of the underpaid hotel staffers is probably watching it.
Yeah, some poor doorman's just like,
Whose horse is this?
Whose horse is this? Oh, God.
And that's Falling for Christmas.
Yeah, it was cute. I mean, you should watch it.
Yeah, I liked it. I would watch it with my mom. I think she would like it.
Yeah.
It wasn't offensively
bad.
It wasn't dashing in December.
I liked how aware it was, because sometimes, like you said, like, Hallmark movies are too earnest.
Yeah.
So I think this one was aware. It's a Christmas movie. It's got the whole, it's every single plot point of every single Christmas movie. And you know what? Sometimes that's good.
Yeah.
And there was a horse.
Of course.
So that was, like I said, I'm not sure when I'll upload this. I'll probably do some more Christmas movies. There's another lesbian Christmas movie that I really want to watch. What was that called? What the fuck was that movie called?
I forgot about that. Why didn't we watch it last night?
Because, I don't know. Maybe we could pirate it.
I made a joke.
We would never do such a thing.
We would never pirate movies, but if we were to pirate movies, it would be this lesbian Christmas movie.
I just made a joke in my head, and it was bad.
Well, what was it?
Scissoring in December.
That's awful. Julie.
I'm sorry.
Nobody likes you.
I know.
Scissoring the snow.
That's better.
Tripping.
You know what? Trimming the tree.
I rescind my invitation. Y'all
get out.
Oh God, I got lightheaded.
Strap on for Santa.
Oh God.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry, listeners.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Making Mrs. Claus merry.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us, you can click on the link in the description. Take you to our support page where you can make a donation. You can make a one-time donation or a monthly patronage. Every little bit helps. If you can't help us financially, you can help us by sharing our podcast with your friends and growing our audience base. Because who wouldn't want to listen to us cackling like fucking idiots about lesbian jokes?
We have like fun. So much more, like, when we're in person, I think we do a good show.
So thank you again to Julie and Heather for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister.